This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, and welcome to L&G Talks Asset Management. My name's Harry, and today we're discussing an extremely topical subject for investors in 2025, equity market concentration risk, and what can be done to tackle it. To delve into this topic, I'm delighted to be joined by Ord Martin, Head of Pooled Index Investment Specialists, and Andre Payok, a fund manager specialising in multi-asset strategies. Andre, if we can start with you, I imagine most of our listeners are broadly familiar with the idea of market concentration, where the weighting of a small number of stocks increases. But how concentrated are markets right now on a historical basis?
So it's certainly changed a lot over my time at L&G. When I joined in 2015, the US weight in those global indices was still well below 50%. And today, we have United States that has doubled the weight of all other countries combined. Now, what this means is that when you invest in, say, MSCI World Index, you might take comfort that you have exposure to nearly 1,400 companies there, but your effective number of stocks, which is the metric which adjusts for how top-heavy a particular index is below 100. For S&P 500, that's below 50. So we're getting down to levels that, when it comes to that effective number of stocks, is not that dissimilar to many active equity portfolios out there. And I think that one thing that brings many investors to index funds is this idea of broad market exposure. But today, that exposure is actually not that broad. And in 2022, we have a year where 60% of S&P 500 losses can suddenly be traced back just to seven companies. And it's the risk that probably many investors might have sleepwalked into 2025 with as well.
Ord, I remember that last year and in 2023, the Magnificent Seven, those US tech giants, were hugely significant contributors to US equity index returns. So far this year, their contribution has been much more mixed. What's been the cause of the volatility in returns we've seen from these companies? And what would you say about the outlook for them?
Yes, so indeed, last year was really a record-breaking year for those tech stocks. And if you look at the Mag 7, they returned over 67% in 2024. And there were several reasons for that. So indeed, we all remember the AI developments, the innovation there that led to a very positive market sentiment. But at the same time, these are companies that, you know, ultimately have strong earnings, they have strong balance sheets. And so, yes, they led to those positive and high returns. Year to date, indeed, it's been a very different picture with, you know, some negative returns and drawdowns. So the Mag 7 had drawdowns of 25% in April. And, you know, beyond that, the performance of those stocks have been volatile overall. There's been several factors for that volatility. There's geopolitical uncertainties. The U.S. tariffs as well have been a major factor of disruption, not just for the semiconductors as a sector amongst many others, you know, really hitting market sentiment and creating that fear for investors on whether they should still believe in those companies to be key, I would say, performing ones, or whether there could be another picture coming up with that performance coming down over the coming months. But also, in addition to that, I would say overall market volatility, geopolitical environment, you know, if you think as well of the interest rates, when are they going to be cut? Inflation is still quite sticky. All of these, I would say, broad questions. There's also very much companies-related news that also disrupted this market, the tech market. So Apple announced in May that it will be using its own AI for Safari, and that had a negative impact on Google, you know, AI as well, as they are no longer the, I would say, unique one to feature across research tools. NVIDIA as well had to come up with a decision after US tariffs, whereby they decided to start creating cheaper H20 AI chips. So it's a really cheaper version that they need to create for China if the tariffs are going to be so high. But having said that, the earnings remain, you know, quite good. These companies are, again, strong companies. They do a lot of research and development. They invest in key innovating areas. So I would say it's a very volatile picture as well in terms of, yes, these companies are so strong. They are still ones that have a good outlook, but at the same time, the uncertainty in the markets remain. It is volatile markets. There is some inflation, interest rates questions, and also geopolitical risk. And this is why it requires for investors to really diversify their portfolio today.
For investors who want to smooth out the sort of volatility that Ord has just described there, a traditional, of course, approach would be the 60-40 portfolio consisting of 60% global equities and 40% bonds. Andre, how has this 60-40 traditional approach worked out in the year to date?
So the beginning wasn't too bad. It was still up 2% towards the end of February. But then after the Liberation Day, it was actually sharply down and eventually turned negative. And at some point, we actually reached losses of around minus 8% in terms of that year-to-date performance. And now, yes, it's been recovering since, but in the end of the day, it's still a portfolio whose three quarters of risk sits in US equities. So there's not that many places to hide if suddenly US is in the eye of the storm. And I think what complicates this picture further for investors is the weakness in the US dollar that we've seen. So that experience might be more painful for those sitting on unhedged exposure to US equities, because we also seen US dollar losing additional 10% versus the pound this year.
So it seems like a classic 60-40 portfolio may not be the answer to overcoming equity market concentration risk. Ord, how might investors look to tweak their portfolios to increase regional diversification?
Yes, there's many investment strategies out there, and it's really important for investors to take the time to really go and dissect the different investment strategies and look under the wrapper and really at the composition of those portfolio. So there are options of global indices with, for example, some factor tilts, a regional constraint as well, which basically act as a cap to US concentration to avoid not only the concentration, but exactly like we were saying last year, really avoiding those overlapping positions. Main indices, have this concentration in today, what are those US tech stocks? And having multiple of those market cap indices will create a concentration by definition into really a small number of assets and a small number of companies. So I'd say global factors or country constraint type of investment strategies. It's important to also look at maybe some equal weighted type of portfolio as well, rather than market cap, that allows to really broaden, I would say, the spectrum of exposure that you have amongst countries into your global investment strategies. But it's also important to keep an eye on what's going on in other parts of the world. If we look at Europe and Japan, for example, this year, these are regions that have done really well. Year to date, if you compare to the MAC 7 that is still in negative / flat territories, Japan returned about 12.5% year to date in US dollar terms. And for Europe in US dollar terms as well, it's above 22% return. So, allocating to those other regions would have helped a lot investors defy what was the drawdowns from those US assets. And not only it brings about diversification in the portfolio, but it also allows investors to get, exposure to other type of economies, other types of geopolitical risk, and really diversify away from the US markets. One to also not forget and keep an eye on is emerging markets. It also has done pretty well. It's up 10%. A year to date in US dollar term, and it has rebounded very quickly from its drawdown around the month of April. Again, emerging markets will have, different type of risks allocated to them. And looking at really the rest of the world and having allocation, country by country or region by region can be very helpful in those instances of drawdowns.
Andre, we've covered regional diversification, but another way of slicing markets is at the sector level. I'm interested in whether there's an interplay between the two. So if an investor chooses to reduce their exposure to the US market, will that have an impact on their sector weighting?
So that's a good question, because we know how tech-heavy US index has become. And it's something that a lot of clients ask us about at the moment, because reducing US might inadvertently also reduce your tech exposure, especially if you move to, say, Europe or UK with much lower exposure to that sector. So in pursuit of regional diversification, investors might accidentally reduce their exposure to high growth companies. However, it's not all bad news, because we've seen so much innovation in the index space and in the space of index solutions that there are many ways to then bring that high growth component back up. And investors can do it in a much more diversified way than simply buying Apple or Microsoft or Nvidia. So in our multi-asset strategies, we often use thematic ETFs. We like them because they let us cast our net much wider in themes like artificial intelligence. So you can add that to your well-diversified regional equity mix, so you're still not overly exposed to any single country, but now have a more meaningful exposure to that high growth element.
I'd like to round out this podcast by asking you both about the mindset that you think could serve investors well during periods of increased volatility like we've seen recently. You've both been in markets long enough to see several bull and bear market cycles. Are there any simple principles that you think can help investors during periods of volatility? Or would you like to go first?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, first of all, you know, think long term, really avoiding the short term noise and really staying put, making observations of the market and thinking at the back of our minds that we need to achieve long term returns. And that requires a form of consistency to our market exposures, even in difficult times. And this is where it's really the hardest. As Andre mentioned just earlier, diversifying and exploring investment solutions that are out there, and there's quite a lot across asset classes, using inflation protection tools, like, for example, commodities, can be great. And keeping in mind that there is a lot of choice that we can pick from. As a second point, I'd say that take your time to make those investment decisions. You know, when markets have big drawdowns, whereas there's some big market events, we tend to want to take very, very quick decisions. It's important to always take a step back and really gradually follow a robust and explicit process to limit those, you know, shifting behaviors that sometimes are not beneficial for our portfolios.
Andre, what would you highlight?
So the first one is probably not surprising. It's to diversify. We're strong believers in benefits of that diversification. And today, when you look around and you see all just how much geopolitical uncertainty we're facing, it's just much more prudent not to expose your portfolios to any specific, whether it's region, sector, or a company. And the second one is our mantra of prepare, don't predict. Because trying to actually accurately predict long-term outcomes at inflection points is close to impossible. So we don't want to overcomplicate it. And we build our multi-asset portfolios in such a way that they're prepared to withstand a number of different scenarios ahead and then perform actually in a variety of different environments rather than betting all our capital on just a single scenario or a single prediction.
Well, thanks so much both of you for joining me today. It's been really lovely talking to you. If you enjoyed this discussion, do check out blog.lng.com, where Andre and Ord recently published a blog on the topic, and there are more articles on the same subject to come. I hope you can join us next time on the podcast.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information. Not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities, Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.